Dear ones, for this evening's reading, I desire to read from the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. The book of Jonah, chapter number 1. Želim da se pročita iz knjige Jona, prvu glavu. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This is the extent of our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. There was the... I'd like to just share a few words this evening from this book of Jonah, the first chapter. I'd like to cover, just as we go over the entire book, it's only 4 chapters long, and just bring out some points from it. We know that in the story of Jonah is a story that is known pretty much by unbelievers and believers, by those who don't go to church. The story of Jonah is pretty much a world known for the most part. Everyone's heard of Jonah being swallowed by a whale, or as we say, it says here a great fish, but we assume a whale and so on. But I'd like to just kind of not really focus on the fish, but focus on this prophet, on the city of Nineveh, on God's love, on me and you, my dear brother and my dear sister, and on you also, our dear friends who came to worship with us this evening. And there's a message here, I believe, for each one of us to come to understand who God is and who we are, and how often we can so easily go against His will. And we see here Nineveh. Nineveh is a city. It's a great city in Assyria. Assyria, in that time, was a superpower. It was a nation that was feared by all the nations around it. It was brutal. It would torture people that it captured. It's said that in history that there's those cities who, when they were to be overrun by the Assyrians, that they would literally commit suicide just because they didn't want to be captured and tortured by them. They were so brutal in who they were. And they were enemies of Israel. And Israel, the northern kingdom, actually, the Bible tells us that they had made friends with the Syrians so that they can together be stronger, which was against God's will. That they could be stronger against Assyria, which ended up capturing them anyway. But so Nineveh was a city in Assyria. And they were an enemy of the Israelites. They were an enemy that Jonah in that day was a prophet who God had spoken to and told him to go and to preach judgment, not salvation. He said, go and tell them. Basically, his prophecy was eight words long, to tell them that the 40 days in Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the only message that he was told to go and to give. So Nineveh was a city that was against God. Nineveh was a city that was on a collision course with God's justice and His judgment. Just like any city who leaves out God, any person, any individual who leaves out God in his own life is in a collision course with God's justice. It's inevitable. You will meet. They will meet. Not maybe. Here, Nineveh was given 40 days. You, my dear friend, don't know what the days you're given, but there is a collision course coming for your life with God's justice. And just as Nineveh or Jonah was told to go preach or go warn of the collision course that was taking place, so you have heard over and over again. And we're going to see what a nation that knew not God, that relied on its own power, that relied on its military might, its numbers, its brutalness, it relied on itself. Do we know of a nation today that's like that? Several. They leave God out completely. And those nations are on a collision course with God. For sure. For sure. And you as an individual, we all are. And so Jonah is told, go and tell this city that in 40 days it will be overthrown. He doesn't tell them to repent. He doesn't tell them to turn to God like you are, like we are today. There's no salvation that is being preached. Jesus came and he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You've heard that. You've heard that. You're ignoring it. Jonah ignored it and did opposite. Well, really, we do the same thing. When we don't obey God, we do the opposite. Jonah was told to go east. He went west. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. He went to Tarshish. Jonah was told to do a specific thing, and he did the absolute opposite. And Jesus says the same thing to us. Follow me. If I'm not going to follow him, there's no such thing as, just a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. If I'm not following him, I'm going the opposite. Because Jonah, what he thought here, that he knew better than God. He knows that Assyria is an enemy. He knows that Assyria is brutal. And he thinks that God is not thinking this through properly. Because if he did, he would see that judgment does belong on Assyria and the Nineveh, that city. Judgment belongs. He's delighted to hear that in 40 days they will perish. And he wants to remove himself as far away from Nineveh so that those 40 days, the countdown starts, 39, 38, 37. The farther he can get away from Nineveh, the better chance that those 40 days will expire and Nineveh will be overthrown. And relief will come to the Israelites. That's his thoughts. And God had given him direct instructions what to do. So we know that Jonah sets out in a different direction. And it says the Lord sends out a great wind. You see, there's nowhere. And the thing is, we all know this. There's nowhere we can go to hide from God. No one sitting here thinks they can hide from God. So why does anyone sitting here think that we can disobey him? Why do we ever think that we can, in the face of God, do what we want to do and still demand God to forgive me or demand God's mercy or his salvation as I will still do what I want to do? Jonah set out to do something completely opposite what God had told him to do. And the Lord sends out a great wind as he goes into this boat, this ship. He sends out a great wind. And so the tempest is such that the ship is like it's going to break. The mariners are afraid. These are professionals. They know about ships. They know about the sea. They know how rough it is. They see it. And they said, this is something. And so they turned every man to his own God. They're even superstitious. But we see what God can do. He went even into their superstitions as they cast lots. And God was there even directing that so that it would fall upon Jonah. So that Jonah would be revealed to these mariners. And God never takes any opportunity to save a soul and to dismiss it. These mariners have their own gods with small g's. They're crying to them. It's all for naught. There's nothing. There's no salvation in those gods. There's nothing there. And they're crying to them. And so they cast the wares, and they cast wares that were in the ship, trying to lighten the load. Nothing doing. It says that Jonah goes down in the sides of the ship. He falls asleep. These men are terrified of death. Jonah goes to sleep. So they said, let's cast lots so that we may know who's the cause of this evil that is upon us. And the lot falls upon Jonah. God directing even their own superstitions that they had. And he says, so they go to him, tell us. We pray thee. He didn't tell them his occupation when he got onto that ship. He had nothing he could say. What's he going to do? He's going to go into this ship and tell them what he's doing? You see, he lost his testimony. How can he go there and preach about a living God who he is running away from to people who are calling out to their own gods who don't hear them? Who don't even know they exist, who don't even exist themselves. And so Jonah couldn't say anything. He couldn't say, I'm an Israelite. He couldn't say, I had direction to go to Nineveh. God told me to go and I didn't go. He couldn't tell them these things. Because he was outside of the will of God. Outside of the perfect will of God. He was outside of that. How can he preach God to a people when he's outside of that will himself? It didn't go. And he stayed quiet. So they started to ask him. And he realized that he has nothing to do but confess to them what he has done. Because he knows these men will perish, and he's the cause. And so he tells them, I'm in Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. And he tells them that he fled from their presence, from the presence of the Lord. And now they are exceedingly afraid. Here's a God that they just heard about who is actually involved. Unlike their gods, who they could cry to, they could go to. They don't receive instructions from them. They don't have anything from them. Here's a God that they hear about who gave direction to a man who says that he fears them, and he disobeyed him. And this is the outcome of it. They've come to terms that there is a God of Israel. And so they ask him, why? Why did you do this? Why did you do this? And it's the same question that could be asked today for everyone who goes outside of the will of God. You know his will. Jesus says, follow me. We know to follow him. We don't. Why? Why? Why did you do this? They're asking him. So they said, what are we going to do now? He said, take me up, cast me into the sea. He was so set on making sure that Nineveh was going to perish that he was willing to perish so that Nineveh would also. This is how much he felt that Nineveh did not deserve. He knew who God was. Because he says at the end of the chapter, I knew that you were a God of mercy. I knew that. And so if he knows, why wouldn't he go? Well, he didn't feel that Nineveh deserved to be forgiven. But he did. And we see, dear ones, Jesus on full display. He tells us, love your enemies. Do good to those who use you. Jonah needed to learn that. A prophet of God, outside of his will, telling God, you're wrong. This is how it needs to be. Nineveh has to perish. Go ahead, let the 40 days expire and destroy them. And these men who know that their boat will fall apart, their ship will fall apart, they try harder and harder to bring the ship to land, not willing to throw him over, knowing that he will perish. Their lives are at stake. They heard about this God who is alive, and they don't want to throw this man overboard, so they try. And then they cried unto the Lord. When they saw it was all for naught, judgment was coming upon them too. They cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Here's a people who just heard of this God, who are calling unto him. Don't charge this on us. You did as you pleased. They realized they had no choice but to throw him overboard. And they took him up, threw him into the sea, and immediately it ceased. The waves stopped. And here's where men who had heard about God came to repentance. The men feared the Lord exceedingly. They offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. They came into the presence of a living God, and they immediately repented and made vows unto their God now. Meanwhile, Jonah, the prophet, who knows God, who knows him, knew him intimately. God talked to him. He's now in the sea. And a fish is coming to swallow him up. And he's there 3 days and three nights. Why did Jonah go through all of this? Because he wouldn't go to Nineveh and cry against that great city. But it's more than that. He was directed to go, and he thought he knew better than God. And dear ones, anytime we do anything that is outside of his will, we are really playing God. We're saying in words that God should put aside his word, which I know my life is coming into a collision course with God, but it shouldn't. You died for me, so forgive me for this. I just wanted to wait a little bit longer. The 40 days might be expiring tonight, might be expiring next year. We don't know. But every one of us has a time. And we just don't know when it is, when we will meet that judgment day, when we will be judged as Nineveh was going to be judged. Cry against that great city. So we know that Jonah prays. Jonah is thrown back onto the dry land, and Jonah goes and he preaches into the city. He enters into the city and he tells them that in 40 days he will be overthrown. That's all he says. And the people, from the king on down, repented. Perchance, that this judgment that is upon them, God would have mercy on them when they repented. And Jonah still didn't learn. 3 days in the belly of the fish, he still didn't learn. He learned to obey God, but he couldn't get that anger out of him. He still goes out of the city, puts himself up to look down on that city, and the countdown begins. And he wants that city. He wants to see that they do not repent, that they sin. And he's angry. And we see Jonah's anger. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. Because it said God saw the people of Nineveh, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And thing is, Jonah knew that. He knew that there's a good chance that they would repent. Why wasn't Jonah pleased? See, Jonah didn't love. Jonah needed to learn to love. Isn't this very similar to the old brother of the prodigal son, the older brother of the prodigal son who came back? He's angry. He's not happy. And his father's telling him, aren't you happy? This, my son was lost and he's found. Isn't God saying to Jonah, look, these people were lost. They've turned from their evil way. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. And he tells God, this is why I fled from Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He went and preached to a city that was an enemy of Israel. And because of what he did, that city was saved. People would hear this, and he didn't want to face it. Here's God in such a loving reproof. He says, doest thou well to be angry? So he makes him a booth, sits down in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. It says, the Lord prepared a gourd, made it to come up over Jonah that it might shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. And so Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. It came up in one day, and it provided relief for him, a shade. But then God did something else. He prepared a worm. And the next day, that worm smote that gourd to the ground, and it withered away. And then God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? You're angry because here's a gourd. Because he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And the Lord said, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored. You didn't do anything for this. You didn't do anything. The gourd came up. You didn't make it to grow. It came up in the night. It perished in the night. And you're angry for that. And he says, shouldn't I spare Nineveh, that great city, where there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left? That's 120,000 children, he says, who are in that city who don't know their left from their right hand. It's estimated that that city was 1 million people. It doesn't matter. If it's 120,000, let it be that. It's a great city. And he says, I'm not supposed to be merciful on that city. He created all things. He created those Ninevites. They turned to him. It pleased the Lord. The only way we can please him is to turn and repent. To turn and repent. Because all of us, dear ones, are on this same collision course with the justice of God. And as Jonah was taught, and so he goes into the beginning and he writes this book. And he shows his own foolishness that he repented of. But we see God who is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. This is the God who is offering us that today. Because tomorrow is judgment. And so we have a choice. We all are given a choice. God's mercy or his judgment. Choose today. For all of us, dear ones. So we don't end up like Jonah in a ship that I can't tell those people that I'm with that I am a God-fearing man. That I am outside of his will. And that I can't really preach to you about God because I'm not obedient unto him myself. So today, dear ones, as God is full of mercy, let us look unto him and so that we would be in alignment with his footsteps where he calls us to learn of him for his meek and lowly in heart. May God bless his word this evening upon our hearts. Amen.